Well, as these guys are exiting the stage, my name is Bruce Cox. Good morning to y'all. I don't know where that Southern accent came from there. Anyway, I am part of the missions committee here at Cornerstone, and so I have the pleasure of working with our team and also had the pleasure of working with Jason Schultz, who's going to be speaking here in a moment for us. Jason, you can go ahead and come on up. And his wife, beautiful wife, Riel, is here as well, so they're right here. And I can remember on our search a couple years ago when we started working down the process of trying to find a partnership for Cornerstone, first talking to Jason. And I remember on the phone and during that conversation, the main feeling I got is, man, this is a humble guy. I wonder if he's like that in person. And he is. And so I've had the pleasure of getting to know these guys. And I'm so glad they could be here today. And I'm glad for the opportunity for you guys to get to know them as well. I think Jason will be out in the foyer afterwards. So if you can take a moment to get to know him, that'd be great. And so Jason, the executive director at Agua Viva, and his wife, Riel.
Good morning. We're very happy to be here with you and to meet Cornerstone Church. Bruce and Pastor Jeremy and Ruth and Steve had gone a year ago, so we met some of them, and we're excited about working together. And I know I just met Quentin, and I know a few of the high schoolers and some adults are going in July, so we'll be talking about the July trip a little bit and what we do at Agua Viva. Agua Viva means living water, and we'll be sharing a little bit about the ministry. But I'm going to invite my wife, Rigel. So I know Rigel is a hard name to say. Rigel is the name of a star. It's R-I-G-E-L. So in English, it's Rigel. But if you want to practice rolling your R's in Spanish, it's Rigel. And that's my wife's name. So she's going to just share a little bit about her family.
Good morning. We're very happy to be here with you this morning. And don't worry if you don't remember my name. That's okay. I know my name is even difficult in Spanish, so don't worry about that. But we're very honored to be here with you at Cornerstone this morning. And we're very excited about the group that's going this year, the youth and the adults. We're going to have a very good time partnering with you serving down there in Mexico. And I just want to introduce or talk a little bit about my family. I know this is a small picture, but at the end of the service, we're going to have some of these cards out there if you would like to meet our kids and take one of these with you and remember us in your prayers. We invite you to do that. So we have three kids. The oldest is called Abigail. She's 12. And then we have a 10-year-old, Alexa, and a 6-year-old, David. So the ones who will be coming down to Mexico, you will meet them there. And we love serving the Lord in Agua Viva, and we love getting to know Cornerstone a little bit more and partnering with you guys. So we're very happy to be here. And I'll leave you with Jason.
So my mom is from Minnesota. She actually grew up in Coon Rapids. And my parents have been missionaries in Mexico since before I was born. And my uncle and aunt, Butch and Violet, are here. They live in Zimmerman. So they're here with us. And my cousin Denise and Dave, you live in Rogers? So we're happy to be here. And we're happy to be able to visit some family while we're up here in Minnesota. I don't know if you were here in the summer, but my dad shared, his name is Mark Schultz. Pastor Jeremy said he drove the cameraman crazy because he moved all over the place and walked down the aisle, so I promise I won't do that. But I have the blessing to grow up in a missionary family and in Mexico, so I'm a second generation missionary. I've lived in Mexico my whole life. And I want to share a little bit about Agua Viva. And first of all, I just want to thank you as Cornerstone for partnering with us. We stayed with Nathan and Danielle last night, and Nathan told me that, he asked me, do you know how the process went for us, for Cornerstone to choose Agua Viva? And I said, no. He said, well, Bruce Cox did an investigation, and that was like a serious investigation. He told me there were spreadsheets involved in all this investigation. I think there were probably FBI background checks into different. He said they checked out about 500 organizations, and then that. So this is very unusual for us as a ministry, and I'll be sharing a little bit about other what we do. But Bruce called us, you know, that was the initial contact, and that hasn't happened before. Actually, there's only one other person who supports our ministry who hadn't been there. He just met us online. The other person said he visited our website and he saw that we needed a lot of help. So that's how, you know, I think he saw how bad our website was and he said, okay, we're going to partner with you guys. But it's actually quite honoring to hear all the work that you guys did and Bruce did to check us out. And I know some of the things we do, like training leaders, aligned with what you wanted to do with mission. So thank you for partnering with Agua Viva, and we're happy to work together with you. And we consider it, you know, we're down in Mexico, but we're working together. And I see, you know, I think it's a sign of a church being mature when a church can, you know, look outside and extend their arms to other places, in the same way that it's a sign of a maturity of a person. You know, a two-year-old or a one-year-old baby is only thinks about themselves, is very immature, is very selfish. And then as we mature, we need to be considerate and think of others. And in the same way, a mature church is able to go beyond their area of influence and to other nations as well. So thank you for looking to Mexico and for working with us in what we're doing in Mexico. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the mothers here. We celebrate them today. And thank you that we can spend some time in your word and sharing about your work in Mexico. Thank you for your presence here. And I pray that this morning you will speak to us through this message, through this word, and bless each family represented here in Cornerstone. And thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Agua Viva is a ministry. We're located in the northwest corner of Mexico, and we basically do three things. We do education, so we train. We have a Bible school, and we train pastors and missionaries in Mexico, Mexicans to serve in Mexico. Then we have a campground. We have a Christian campground where we host up to 450 people, so we do different camps throughout the year. And then we do missions. We host teams that come on mission trips to Mexico, and we work in missions to reach the unreached of Mexico. So I want to start by showing a quick video. So this will just give you an idea of where we are, what our campground looks like, and a little of what we do. Agua Viva Ministries is a gospel-centered missions organization. Our vision is to reach Mexico for Christ. We work to change lives through camps, to touch lives through short-term missions trips, to equip leaders through education, and to reach the unreached of Mexico through missions.
La visión de Agua Viva nació en el corazón de un pastor misionero, nuestro hermano Chuy Dávalos, quien en verdad su corazón latía por alcanzar a México para Cristo, pero él solo no podía. Entonces, preparar a la gente era su corazón, era su anhelo. Y él ya se fue con el Señor, pero la historia continúa.
Today, Agua Viva opens its doors to thousands of campers each year to change lives through the power of the gospel, build up the local church, and draw people closer to God.
The Ministry Training Institute has been equipping men and women to go onto the mission field for over 30 years. Students from all over Mexico come for 1 or 2 years to study the word, learn tools for effective ministry, and serve in local churches and communities.
We're also passionate about involving people from north of the border to reach Mexico for Christ.
Teams come to join local churches in being salt and light here in Ensenada. Through children's ministry, medical care, construction projects, fixing bikes, and special camps designed for service in the community, teams get to experience what God is doing in Mexico.
To learn more about the many ways you can be involved with us, visit us at aguaviva.com. Get in touch with us if you'd like to bring a group down to Mexico, or come yourself as a volunteer or staff member, or if you'd like to invest financially and help us with the long-term goal of reaching Mexico for Christ.
So Mexico is a country about a third of the size of the U.S., 130 million people, and God's moving in Mexico, and God's been moving in a special way in the past few decades. My parents went to Mexico in the early 70s, and back then about 1 to 2% of Mexico were evangelical Christians. And that was about a little over 1 million people. And today, 15% of Mexico is Christian, and that's about 18 or 20 million people, according to the official government census. So the church has grown, has multiplied in the last few decades, and that's created a lot of dynamics of what God's doing in Mexico. And about 10% of Mexicans are indigenous. So that means they speak a different language than Spanish. They usually Spanish is their second language. Most of the time they live in areas that are far away from the cities. They live up in the mountains. And the indigenous people in Mexico have a lot of challenges. The Mexican government allows them to control themselves by their own traditions. So the Mexican police or army doesn't interfere too much with what they're doing. And I want to tell you about a couple. Their names are Samuel and Martha, and they're in this picture here, and they're the ones on the far on your right. They're in the white shirt and with a hat on backwards, and his wife's next to him. That's Samuel and Martha, and their daughter's holding the pink ball there, Sarai. And so they're from a Mexican native people called the Huicholes, and they live up in the mountains in southern Mexico. And a missionary went up to share the gospel with them, and there was a person that was sick, and the missionary prayed for the sick person, and the person got healed. So that encouraged a few of the families to believe in the message that the missionary was sharing, and they received Christ and became Christians. So it started with one family, and it started extending. They were in a small town, and pretty soon there were 14 families in this town who were Christians. Well, when the Huicholes get sick, traditional Huicholes, like a lot of other Indian groups in Mexico, when they're sick, they go to the witch doctor so that the witch doctor heals them or tries to heal them. So the Christians believed in Jesus, and instead of going to the witch doctor, they were praying for each other when they were sick or going to the doctor. And so the witch doctors got very upset with these new Christians. So the witch doctors went to the leaders of the Huichol people, and they said, hey, we don't like these Christians. We don't like that they're turning away from our traditions, and we don't think they should be Christians. So the elders gathered, and they called in the Christians, and they said, you guys can't be Christians. We're Huicholes, so we need to follow our traditions, and we want you to deny your faith. So the 14 families gathered together. They talked about it. They prayed about it. They said, should we go back? And they said, no, we're Christians. We're going to be faithful. So they went to the leader and said, we're not going to deny our faith. We want to be firm as Christians. The elders went back a second time and said, if you don't turn back from that decision, then we're going to expel you from our community. So they have, they share large amounts of territory, and being expelled from their community meant they were going to lose everything they had. So again, the Christians prayed about it, fasted, and they decided to stand firm. So a couple weeks later, a couple pickup trucks from the leaders of the Huicholes went in front of each house of the believers, went in and arrested. I mean, they tied up and grabbed the men and threw them in the pickup trucks, picked up the women, the children, and they expelled them from their territory. They drove about 2 hours to the edge of their reservation, and there's a town there where they're not indigenous, and they left them there. And these are the 14 families there. These 14 people were expelled. They lost their land. They lost their homes. Some of them had some, sheep or goats. They lost all of that. They were pretty poor to start with, but what they had, clothes, their kitchens, they lost everything, and they were expelled. And the leaders of the Huicholes said, you guys, you can't come back, and if you do come back, we could kill you. So this happened 3.5 years ago, and for the last 3.5 years, these 14 families have been living in a town called Bolaños, which is in the state of Jalisco, Mexico, kind of near Guadalajara. And so they arrived in this town. They had nothing. They went to the mayor. This is a town of about 10,000 people. And the mayor of that little town allowed them to sleep in the gym of the community center. So they lived there for about a year. And then a year later, a church in Mexico City heard about them and helped them out. They rented a large house. But the 14 families, I believe there's 28 people, they all live together in one house. And that's how they've been. They don't have There aren't a lot of work opportunities in that place where they are. They can't go back to their homes. If they go to a big city, it's more dangerous because things are more expensive, so it'd be harder to find work. So they've essentially been living as refugees and trying to work or find work as they are able to in that area. So Samuel and Marta, again, going back to this couple, his dad is the pastor or the leader of this group, and someone invited him to go to Ensenada, where we live in northern Mexico. That's about 1,500 miles away from where they are. So they traveled up there, and they were working for a while, and then they heard about Agua Viva, where we have a Bible school. So they came, and they said they wanted to be trained in the Bible. They've only been Christians a couple years, and they're, you know, his dad, who's a pastor, can't read and write. So there's a huge need to learn more about the Bible, to be able to teach and share the gospel with others. So they asked us if they could study with us, and we said, of course. So Samuel and Marta have been students at Agua Viva since January, and their daughter, and they're living there on campus with us. So I talked to Samuel about a month ago, and I said, Samuel, what are your plans when you graduate? He's going to be at our Bible school for 1 year. And he said, I'm going to go back to preach to my people. And I said, well, if you go back, aren't you risking your life if you go back? And he said, well, there's two things. We're going to go to the town where we were expelled to, Bolaños, and that's not in the reservation, so we can live there. And he said, and this is great, he said, because our friends and families up from the mountains are coming down because they want to hear the gospel. They're hungry for the gospel, so they're coming down and asking us about the gospel, so we want to be able to share with them. And number two, even though we're not going to go back to the town we were expelled from, there's a lot of towns that haven't heard the gospel, so we can travel up to other places and share the gospel with them. So this is part of what we do with education. We train Mexican nationals to reach Mexico for Christ. We train pastors and missionaries. Some of our students are indigenous, like Samuel and Marta. Most are not. Most are, you know, Mexicans from cities or towns that feel called to serve God. As the church has grown in Mexico and it's really multiplied, there's a huge need to train leaders in Mexico. I was reading an article by Newsweek a few years ago, and Newsweek had a statistic that said that 75% of pastors, of evangelical pastors in Latin America, have had no formal training. 75%. And what happens? The church is growing and churches are planted, and then they say, well, you know, hey, you be the pastor. So someone becomes a pastor, but there aren't a lot of seminaries in Mexico. They're expensive. It's hard for people to get trained. So there's a lot of leaders in the church who've had no training or very little training. So part of what we do as Agua Viva is to train leaders. There's a pastor, a friend of ours that we know, who's a pastor in a small town. He's indigenous, and he hadn't had a lot of training. So he was pastoring a church of about 30 people. And one day some people walked up and they had Bibles and they said they were Christians and they asked if they could share with his church. So, you know, he's a pastor and he's very humble. So he said, oh yeah, come share. So they shared, and then they came back the next week and shared again and kind of helped him with leadership. And this went on for a few months. And after 5 months of this pastor opening and sharing his pulpit and opening the opportunity for these people to share with his church, he kind of felt like something wasn't right. And when he went to investigate, he discovered that these Christian friends of his were actually Jehovah's Witnesses, and they were sharing some weird things with his church. But because he didn't really know the difference at the beginning, he allowed them to go in. So there's a huge need to train leaders who know the word, train leaders who are able to do ministry and have ministry skills, who leadership skills, who will go share the gospel with those around them. I want to share two verses this morning. One of them is in the book of Numbers, chapter 27. And these are some of our students graduating. 75% of pastors in Mexico have not been trained or adequately trained for ministry. I'm going to share from the book of Numbers, and you can read it here with me. In Numbers chapter 27, God told Moses that he was going to die. He said, Moses, you're going to go up to the hill, and you're gonna, and essentially told him you're gonna die, that he wasn't gonna go to the promised land. And that's very interesting to me that, you know, God warned Moses that he was gonna die. So when Moses was aware of the fact that he was gonna die, he asked God one question. And he was a leader, and there were, you know, 2 or 3 million Israelites. And he didn't say, well, God, you know, give me, he didn't ask for resources. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask, you know, for new chariots to go into the promised land or anything like that. Moses' number one question, or his only question to God was, okay, who's going to be the next leader? And I want to talk a little bit about leadership this morning. So Numbers 27:15, Moses said to the Lord, may the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. And I love God's response, verse 18. He says, so the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership. I love that. And lay your hand on him. So God had been preparing Joshua. He had been serving with Moses. He was a captain of the army. He had been through the whole 40 years in the wilderness, and he was ready to be a leader. So God, they did a transition of leadership, and Joshua was a great leader for the land of Israel. When I look at Mexico, and our vision as Agua Viva is to reach Mexico for Christ, I think the main thing we need in Mexico is good leadership. As a country, but focusing on the church, we need good leaders in the church. The church has been growing, and we need trained leaders who are able to shepherd and to go lead out and go with the people who are seeking God in Mexico. Latin America has a real different type of leadership and crisis in leadership than what we see in the U.S. I was reading a book about Rick Warren on the flight up here, and Rick Warren prayed the prayer of inauguration for when Barack Obama was president in 2008. And one of the things Rick Warren said in his prayer, he said, thank you, God, that 49 times we've had a transition of leadership in the United States of presidents, and they've all been peaceful. So the United States have a history of pretty good leadership and peaceful transitions. That's not the case in Mexico. Mexico became a nation about 25 years after the United States. And instead of 49 or 50 presidents like you have in the U.S., Mexico has had 84 different presidents, including one who was a dictator who was president for 30 years, and it took a revolution to get him out, Porfirio Diaz, and including a lot of others, 84 different presidents, and only 19 of the Mexican presidents have finished their term peacefully. All the rest of them have either been murdered or expelled, or there have been a coup. There was one president, Antonio López de Santana, who went in and out of presidency 8 times because they were fighting, two sides were fighting. So there's a real history of violence and a history of leaders in Mexico tend to be very authoritative, and you know, they control everything. And as a church, we need to train leaders who are, as Jesus taught us, servant leaders, who will lead the church, who will teach it and feed them as a shepherd feeds a flock. So there's a huge need for leadership. And that's what we do through the Ministry Training Institute, our Bible school. We have a one-year program in Agua Viva, which is one year to study the Bible, to grow personally. Then we have another, a two-year school, which we have, we require a high school diploma to start, and we're connected with a university in Indiana to offer accreditation towards a bachelor's in theology. So that's a two-year school, which is a little more advanced. And last semester, we had 50 students studying this, 12 graduated in December. Right now, we have 36 students, and 26 of them are going to graduate in June. So we're really excited about our school, and we know that as we work hard to train men and women for ministry, we're preparing them to serve God. And it's not just a school where they're learning theology or sitting in a classroom, which they do, but that's not all. We're training them. You know, they're living on campus. They're living in dorms, so they have rules. They're working together. They have some responsibilities each week. And there's also practical ministry where our students go out. We're doing ministry to the homeless in Ensenada. Ministry, we go share the gospel at several rehab centers. We work with children. So our students, we want it to be theoretical, but also practical training and training in the whole person. Because we know God is raising up men and women after his own heart. And one more thing that we're doing as far as training others, we're in Ensenada, there's 400 churches. So according to the statistics, that means 100 of them would have formal training and about 300 of the pastors do not. So in September, we want to do a continuous training program for pastors. So we're going to have four guest speakers who come in, and our students will be there, but we want to draw in at least 50 pastors from Ensenada. So these courses will be 1 to 4 days. They'll come in and learn practical skills for their job as pastors. And we want to see, as the Bible says in Jeremiah 3:15, we want to see God raise up pastors after his own heart. And we're excited to see what God's doing in Mexico. So Agua Viva, we do education, we train leaders. Another thing we do is that we work in missions. And as I said earlier, missions includes teams coming from the U.S. or Canada to on a short-term trip. And also some work we do in southern Mexico. I don't know if you're aware of this, but this is a map of Mexico, and there's 56 main indigenous groups. It says up there on top, and close to 300 different languages and dialects. And the colors on the map are the areas where the indigenous groups are, and they're mostly scattered up high on the mountains. And I want to talk a little bit about Porfirio and Lorena. This is a couple who are also Huichol Indians. They graduated in December. And you as a church were sponsoring Lorena's studies. As Agua Viva, we spend $300 a month to train one person. $300 a month includes their food, includes their housing, includes the teachers who come and train, transportation to go to church and the practical ministry. So altogether, the cost is $300. And we give full scholarships to indigenous students like Porfirio and Lorena. And non-indigenous students, we charge $100 a month, and then we find sponsors for the other $200. So Cornerstone Church was supporting, and you guys paid for Lorena's studies last year. So we appreciate you partnering with us. We appreciate you helping. Porfirio and Lorena are a young couple. They're also Huichol Indians, like Samuel and Marta, but they're from a different area. They're from a little town called Jaimatzie, which means town up in the clouds, because it's very high up in the mountains, and they graduated in December and went back to start a church in their town of Jaimatzie. That's a town with no church. It's a town with a lot of a lot of spiritual darkness, a lot of, witch doctors, and the Huicholes worship the deer and worship the moon, and they have a certain drug that they smoke and go into these trances. There's all these weird stuff that occur among the Huicholes. So they went back to pastor a church. It's a very difficult area to start a church, and please pray for Porfirio and Lorena as they're working as pastors amongst the Huichol Indians. There's a lot of challenges for the church to start, but they want to serve God. So please continue to pray for them as they're working there. And so as Agua Viva, we train people in the school, and then we do trips to different parts of Mexico where the unreached people live. We also support financially. We have a system where we support a missionary family. If a family is graduated from our school or another school, if a family is going to an unreached area of Mexico, so usually an indigenous group, and if they're planning a church, with those three things, we support them financially. We are not a missions organization. We don't send people to the mission field. We're just a training center. We expect Mexican missionaries to be sent from their home church or missions agency. But we are able to support some of those who are going. Right now we're supporting 8 families, and we support them we start with a certain amount, and then it diminishes each month as they raise their own support or as they plan a church and able to support themselves through the ministry. But God's moving in Mexico, and God's doing good things throughout Mexico, and it's exciting to see the hunger for God in the cities and in the towns of Mexico. God's doing some great work. So missions includes missionaries like Porfirio and Lorena working with the unreached groups, and then the groups that come down, we usually host teams, and they stay at Agua Viva, and then we connect with local churches and go out and do different ministry activities. In July, we have an event called Embrace. And so a group of you are going to Embrace, and we are very excited about Embrace. Embrace, we call Embrace a missions camp. So it's a missions trip, but it's kind of mixed with a camp. And the cool thing about Embrace is that Embrace isn't only Americans, and it's not only Mexicans, but it's half Mexicans and half Americans. And we join together for a week, and we make teams. So each team has about 15 people on it. Last year we had 10 teams, and each team goes to two ministry sites per day. So one will go like children's ministry and construction, or preaching at the rehab center, and sports ministry, or working with the homeless and working with special needs community. So each team has two activities during the day. We have breakfast together, then all the teams go out to serve during the day, and then we come back at night, have dinner, and then three of the five nights we have guest speakers come in and share about missions or about serving. We're trying to break the idea and break the paradigm that Mexicans can't do anything, or that, you know, the American church needs to come in and kind of do everything for them, because we know the Mexican church has been growing, and God can use us together. So it's been very cool on Embrace. You make friends with Mexicans. You need to communicate in two languages. We have great team leaders. We have translators on each team to be able to go serve together. So I talked to a pastor from another city, Mexicali, this week, and he says from his church, there's about 70 teenagers going who all speak Spanish. So it'll be very youth oriented. So we're excited about you guys joining us in Embrace. That's going to be July 7th to 12th. Sunday to Friday, but it's going to be great. You're gonna experience Mexico. You're gonna experience serving together, hear some speakers, and grow together. So we're really excited about you guys joining us. And I want to share this video also about Embrace, just so you guys can kind of see some of the activities and what we're gonna do this year. So thank you for joining us in Embrace. I know it's a, for all of you here in Minnesota, it includes a flight and it's a few days. I wanna encourage parents. You know, if your teenager is going to Embrace, I know there's concern about safety and security and whether the wall's going up or the border's closing down. So I just wanna say, at Agua Viva we're in an enclosed campground. It's very safe. That's where we stay. We have 20 full-time staff members, and we most of us live there on campus. It's very safe. We go out. We always partner with a church who we know and we trust, and we do different ministry activities depending on what the need is. And we have Agua Viva. My wife and I have been at Agua Viva for 4.5 years, but as you saw in the video, Agua Viva started about 30 years ago, and we host about 25 teams a year, about 500 or 600 people a year. We've only lost 4 people. No, I'm just kidding. We've had no problems, and we have some rules, like when we go out to serve in the communities, we always need a staff member to go if you're going to separate from the group. But it's very safe. We're very Ensenada is a tourist town. We have the cruise ships that come in from California, so the police and the government are very careful about safety in our city. So just kind of to set you at ease, my cousin Denise is even coming out next week. Nope, if she can go, you can all go. It's no problem. But we thank you for the trust in sending your teenagers, or or your husbands, maybe. And we've seen that it's powerful to go on a mission trip. We live in a society which pushes us to be centered on ourselves. You know, we all have our cell phones, our mobile phones, and we're connected with it. And advertisement and communicate. And society pushes us kind of to think of ourselves, to be selfish, to live our life centered on ourselves. And, of course, the gospel teaches us the opposite, to go out and help others. So a mission trip is a very powerful way to go experience serving God and to see God use what we have. On Embrace or on other mission trips, we have some doctors that come in, dentists and other professionals, but you don't need to be a professional. You don't need to have gone to seminary or Bible school. You just go share God's love. Go play soccer. If you play soccer, great. If you don't play soccer, you're going to get beat by all the kids on the street. But it's very powerful to see God use what we have. And we're all, when we go in the name of Christ, we go to serve others, to show God's love with others. It's very powerful. So a mission trip is a powerful experience to grow and to see how others live, to see the need in Mexico as it is in other nations of the world. So we invite you to Embrace. I know there's a group who's going to go in July, 13 or 20 people. I'm not sure exactly how many. But you're welcome to join us. If not this year, come another year. There's another trip, which is a little deeper into Mexico in October. This is to a place called Vizcaíno, which is about 8 hours south of us. And there's a trip where we go there and share the gospel with migrant workers, most of them indigenous. So Bruce is leading up a smaller team that's looking to go in October. So we invite you to come with us. That'll be a great way to experience Mexican culture and see what God's doing in Mexico as well. So that's on missions. So again, we do education, we do missions. And lastly, I want to share about camping ministry, which is something very fun that we do, very exciting. I know in the States, there's a lot of Christian camps, and there's some excellent camps. In Mexico, there aren't a lot of Christian camps. Of course, most churches in Mexico are first-generation churches, which means the founding pastor is still leading the church. The church has grown a lot in the last couple decades. So Agua Viva is kind of unique because we have a campground. This is our youth camp from 2 weeks ago. We had 250 campers plus about 80 staff, plus a couple other people. So we had about 350 people there during that week. That's the craziest week of the year. We have games, and we have mud pits and cheers, and then we have worship nights. It's mostly junior high and high school students who are there. But what we've seen time and time again is that God does powerful things in a week of camp. God just chooses to do something so special in youth camp. So we love being a part of camps. We have throughout the year, Mexican churches come to use our facilities. Last year we had 57 different groups that came. Some 30 to 50 people, smaller ones, and the largest one, 400 to 500 people. They come for a day or for a week, and they have retreats and camps or family camps, all types of activities, and we host them. And we see God move in a powerful way. So last year, just over 5,000 people came through Agua Viva. And at the different camps, we had 344 people came to know Christ at Agua Viva last year. So that's something very powerful that we see God use. So, almost one person per day. We had our youth camp, like I said, a couple weeks ago. Let me see if I have a picture here. Here are some of the teenagers. We had a speaker. Most of the teenagers that come to camp are Christians, but many non-Christians are invited, and that's so cool, so precious for us. So our speaker shared, and he made an invitation to receive Christ. And we don't pressure people. We don't say, yeah, raise your hand, or we don't try not to push people emotionally to make a decision, because we know the importance of receiving Christ in your heart, the importance of that decision. So we always ask the speaker to make an invitation, and then kind of to filter out those who aren't sure. We say, okay, if you made a decision, please walk over to this other building, and we want to talk to you and pray with you. And so we were expecting maybe 20 people to come, and we had a little room set up. Well, there were 65 teenagers who made that decision, and they stepped out. and I was able to pray with them. And that's an honor. And that, it's so awesome to see God moving in the hearts of teenagers and of adults. And there's a hunger for Christ. As the teenagers went out that night and I went to pray with them along with the camp director, there was a young girl there, and our oldest daughter, Abby, she's 12. And so there was a young girl who's 13. The camps start for 13-year-olds. And she asked us to pray for her, so we prayed for her. Just a young girl, her name is Alondra, and I asked her how we could pray for her. She had just prayed to receive Christ into her heart, and she said, I want you to pray for my mom. And it just broke my heart because she reminded me a lot of Abby, you know, just about the same age, and she kind of the same build as my daughter. And Alondra went to the camp, and she lives at an orphanage. She lives at an orphanage because her dad's not in the picture, and her mom's a drug addict, a drug user, so she got taken to an orphanage. But she still has contact with her mom, and she said, I want you to pray for my mom. And she told me her mom's name, and she told me her mom has been using drugs for many years, and some of her younger siblings are still with her mom, and she was worried about her mom, her mom's health, and she's worried about her brothers and sisters who and their safety as they live with her. And I prayed with Alondra, but I just thought, man, this, you know, a 13-year-old girl shouldn't be worrying about, you know. You know, that shouldn't be what concerns her. Just this huge weight on her shoulders. And, you know, I thought about my 12-year-old and the things she's likes and the music she likes and shows and all these other things and games. And how different of a world is it for Alondra, who grew up in a broken home, who lives in an orphanage. But in the midst of all that hardship, she was able to come to Agua Viva for a week and come to know Christ. And just hear a message of hope for her life and for what God can do in her life. So we're honored to host camps throughout the year. As I said, there's churches that come to do camps at Agua Viva, and then we do 4 youth camps a year. We do 2 children's camps. We do 1 family camp. We have another camp for young girls talking about sexual purity and relationships. And God moves in a powerful way in each of those camps. So I'm sharing this with you to thank you. Because even though we're far away, you're connected with Agua Viva. And as a church, you're investing in the ministry down there. So I want to thank you for partnering with us. And then this weekend, for the first time ever, we're having a camp that we call, that's a special needs camp. We call it Wings or Campamento Alas. And we have a couple on staff who they've been on staff for a few years, and they have a daughter who's autistic. And they've been working a lot with families with special needs children in Ensenada. And one thing they found is that the Mexican church, and myself included, we've kind of been oblivious and to how to handle, you know, a child with Down syndrome or with autism or with other types of special needs. Sometimes families go to a Christian church, and then, you know, people look at them weird, or they're not received, or there's no access for wheelchairs or stuff like that. So a lot of special needs families in Ensenada kind of feel like they're rejected by the Christian church, and we want to change that. And this couple is starting a full-time ministry with special needs children and their families. And this weekend will be our first special needs camp. So we're going to bring in 50 special needs children, and these are from 5 years old to 30 years old, and their families. So 50 special needs children and their and 2 of their family members. So there'll be 150 people, and then we're bringing in 50 volunteers who will play with them and work with them. So our idea is for the children to have a fun time. There's games, there's singing, there's dancing, there's nature walks, there's a swimming pool. They're going to have a fun time. And then with the families, ministering to them, sharing a little bit about, you know, things they're going through, special needs and how to deal with certain things, and sharing the gospel message with them that many of them have not heard. So So we're very excited about our camp this weekend, our first special needs camp, and we invite you to pray and to continue to partner with us. So I want to thank you, and as Bruce said, we'll be over in the foyer after service. We have some flyers about Embrace, if you want to take the information. I know some of you already signed up. And then this is our year-end report, so this talks about last year and the different things God has done. So we want to invite you to come out, take one of those, follow us on social media, follow us on Facebook. Our Facebook is Agua Viva Ministries or Instagram. Just keep in contact with us. We want to invite you to pray for us. We know what we're doing is spreading, is working with the kingdom of God in Mexico, and it's a spiritual battle. So please partner with us in prayer, and we thank you for connecting with us.
Actually, turned it on early. Is your lovely wife still with us? There she is. Yeah, let's have her come on up. And the missions team and I had an opportunity to go down and see the ministries that are going on. And it's such a special thing to be able to have you two with us sharing today. So let's take a moment. Let's pray for them and the ministries that are going on. We'll pray for the camps that are taking place this weekend. Mm-hmm. They'll take place this summer. And then all the other things you got going on, too. Does that sound good? All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for Jason and Rihel. I thank you so much for all that you're doing through them. Personally, God, I pray that you'd strengthen them and encourage them, just as individuals in their own faith, in their personal life with you, in their relationship with each other and with their family. God, I pray that you would strengthen them, that the ministry that they do could be coming from just full hearts and cups that are overflowing. So we lift that up to you, God. We pray that your spirit would just really encourage them. God, I think of all the things that they have going on. That's one of the things that inspired us so much when we looked at this ministry of training pastors, of doing service projects in the community, of blessing the churches in the area, of bringing children, young people who have never heard of you to Christ, God. We thank you for all those things that they have going on, and it takes a lot of time and organization and effort and resources, God. I pray that you'd bless them with all of those things. That your word can go out to more and more people. Lord, we lift up the special needs camp that's happening this weekend. We lift up Embrace, the mission trip in October, and all of the other things that are going on. And also, I just have a heart for the pastors as well in the area as they train and get to know your word more and also grow in leadership. We pray that you would bless them, that this community could be changed, that this country could be changed. And then I think of our own country as well, God, how we every day run into people who have never heard the gospel, have no idea what the numbers on the pages in the Bible mean. All these things, God, I pray that you bless us, Cornerstone Church, as well. Not only that, as we send and help send people to do missions, that we would be reminded that the person next to us may never have heard of God's unfailing love for them. So, God, I pray you bless us as well. Bless Jason and Rahel's trip back to Mexico. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Absolutely.